flip over to Matthew chapter 15. Good morning.
Transmission fluid leak, sorry.
Mission food, what? Transmission fluid leak. Transmission fluid. I thought you said you're doing mission fluid for the week or something. So I was like, okay, cool. Awesome. Right on.
Why
do I wear my uniform? Because I have a pocket. Speaking of, good advertisement. Online. There is a Bible study website. Go to it. Use it. There's many resources, not just me. There's a blog. I wrote a blog last night, stuck it up online, and you can hear my wonderful voice in your home. It's exciting. All right. Let's pray, and we'll get started. Dear Lord, I thank you, God, for this morning. I thank you for the praying parents who brought the food. I thank you, God, that we can come early and honor you in your word, Lord. You are worthy. Lord, I pray that this morning we would understand how worthy you are for our time and for our devotion, Lord. I pray that we would grasp something from your word, that when we leave today, we may know that we have been in the presence of God, and we know that we have seen you and heard you and heard your voice speaking to our hearts, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. All right. I've been excited about this. Matthew 15. Check it out. We're going to run through it. We'll hit some really key, important points. Other points we'll kind of skim over for time's sake. Matthew 15, what happened last week? Anyone remember? Anyone? Jesus walks in the water. Good. What happened before that?
John the Baptist.
John the Baptist. All right. In between John the Baptist.
Feeds
the 5,000. Good. That's what I was looking for. All right. Now, look at verse 15. I'm sorry, chapter 15, verse 1. Then some of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem. Now, where were we last week? Do you guys remember? Sea of Galilee, right? Now, Sea of Galilee is way up here. Jerusalem is way here. They would have to travel a long time. Not a long time. I mean, we have today. They didn't have, you know, cars back then, so it would take a good journey to hear Jesus speak. So they're coming for a specific reason. Now look what happens. I find this really interesting. They say, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat. Now what just happened? The feeding of the 5,000, right? And, you know, I've been there and they don't have like bathrooms and stuff where you can go and wash your hands. They don't have, you know those porta potty things that are really gross? You know what I'm talking about? They don't even have sinks in there anyway. But as far as washing, they didn't have places where they could go wash their hands. So they say, wait a minute. You are breaking a tradition by not washing your hands before you eat. Now, where do they get this? They get this from an interpretation in the Old Testament. It really appeared right after the Babylonian times, and it was passed on orally down next generation after generation after generation. This is what everyone does, right? Now look, these are the teachers of the law. These are like, the Pharisees. You guys have heard. Yeah, go ahead.
When you, the Pharisees, when they're talking about washing hands, is that part of the thing where their law is tacked on in the Bible?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what the book is called.
The Talmud?
Yeah,
exactly. They actually had their they didn't write that till a little later. I think it was about 200 AD. And they wrote the whole book of all their legality and all their laws to go on to the scriptures. Now think about it, that's a good point. The scriptures are what?
Law.
The law and our
Bible.
Old Testament. Not just our Bible, the Old Testament. So when people say, wait a minute, that's in the Old Testament, you gotta discount that. Well, okay, hold on. Number one, the only thing that the New Testament quotes is what?
The Old
Testament. So all the scripture in the New Testament is from the Old Testament. So when people say, that's in the Old Testament, just forget that. That's gone. No. There's some of the stuff in the Old Testament that's so vital. In fact, you can't have the New Testament without the Old. And you can't have Christianity without Judaism. Because we are grafted in, as Romans 12 talks about. We come from where? Judaism, right? Okay, that's key. So look, now they challenge him in public. Now, you guys remember the story about Nicodemus in John chapter 3, where Nicodemus goes at night to talk with Jesus? And what he asks a question, he says, actually, he doesn't even ask a question. Jesus knows what's on his heart. And they start talking, and Jesus answers all his questions very politely, very nicely, and tells them just with great concern about his problems, right? Here, they ask in public. And it's a challenge. It's a cultural public challenge. And so they ask him a question. They say, why don't your disciples, why do they break the tradition of the elders? Now, if they had asked him private, he would have answered very politely and very nicely and tried to persuade them. But now that they're in public, it's kind of like he loads both barrels. He's going to hit it to them hard because they challenged him before everyone. And look what he says. He says, and why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses his father and mother must be put to death. Now what's he quote? He quotes the Old Testament. He quotes two different passages in the Old Testament. But you say that if a man helps, says to his father and mother, whatever help you might otherwise receive from me is a gift to God, then he is not to honor his mother. With this, now underline this verse. This is the first blank. Underline this verse, verse 6. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. Never nullify the word of God with human teaching. Don't do it. So that's the point of what Jesus is saying. See, the human teaching was you must wash your hands before you eat. That's great. Go for it. But if it nullifies the word of God, don't have anything to do with it. There's teaching. I know, Caitlin, I remember you said you had, was it Jehovah's Witness that came up and talked to you at your car? The Jehovah's Witness come up to your car. They begin to explain, hey, you know, Jesus is a cool guy. This is what we believe. They give you this stuff. And Caitlin's like, oh, hey, this is real interesting. However, they tack on a lot of stuff and ignore a lot of stuff from Scripture. They nullify the Word of God with their own human teaching. And now if you're ever talking to one, they pretty much agree to whatever you said. Like if you say, well, do you believe Jesus is God? Oh yeah, we believe he's God. Well, we believe, you know, and they kind of beat around the bush. Beware of that kind of thing. Mormons do the same thing. They have, you know, the Pearl of Great Price, and et cetera, several other books that they throw onto the Bible. Beware of that. Jesus is calling them out. Oh, I just spit everywhere. Jesus is calling them out in front of everyone and saying, hey, never take human's word over God's. You follow me? Same with any other teaching, whether it's evolution, whether it's what the world says. If the world says, hey, you know, in sexual immorality, you guys are going to get married. You've been dating for so long. You've been dating for a couple of years. You're going to get married in a couple of months. What's the problem with having sex before marriage? It's just a couple of months. That's what the world says. God says, no, the marriage bed be undefiled. Don't take man's teaching or man's interpretation over God's. That's the point. All right. Look what Psalm says. If you have your Bible, flip over to Psalms real fast. I love Psalms 119. It's one of the longest chapters in the whole Bible. And guess what it's dedicated to? The Word. The whole thing is about the Word. Psalms 119, verse 89. Does anyone have that? You want to read it?
I'll read it.
Go for it.
Your Word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens.
Good. Your Word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. The Word is settled. It's settled. Every word of God is flawless. It is settled in the heavens. If anything contradicts the word, here, let me just give you a real deep theological thing. If it contradicts the word, it's a lie. Period. That's it. If it goes against God's word, it's a lie. I'll tell you right up front. And then you can go investigate and the truth will be brought out. But straight up for it, it's a lie. Okay, the next thing. Psalms 119, verse 18. What's that say? Does anyone want to get that one?
Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law.
Good. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. Look over at Matthew. Look what he says. He says, you hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. And then underline this. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. Excuse me, I have sniffles. Now, Romans 3:4 says this. May God be true and every man a liar. May God be true and every man a liar. It wasn't until I got in the Word that I really started to grow as a Christian. On your quote there, I think it's by Adrian Rogers. Look what he says. Read this quote. It says, if you do not know, love, understand, practice, and obey the Word of God, I can tell you without stutter, stammer, or apology that you are not a victorious Christian. Did you hear that? He says, I can tell you if you do not breathe, eat, sleep, drink, practice, know, love the Word of God, I can guarantee that you are not a victorious Christian. And that is true. People wonder all the time why they're not growing spiritually or why they're struggling with stuff. It's like a rut that keeps going. And the first question is, are you in the Word? Are you in the Word? You know, Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but on every, and that every is key, every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So my question is, are you living? Are you living? That's the question. Are you alive? My youth pastor, I was not into the Word. I didn't think I had time for the Word. I didn't think it's just a big religion book. I don't need it. And my youth pastor said something really, really interesting that hit me. He said, you know, if you had a girlfriend, or girls, boyfriend, if you had a significant other, and you only spent 15 minutes a week with that person, how would your relationship be? And I thought about that, because, you know, I was interested in girls. Still am. just throw them out. I thought about that, I was like, well, 15 minutes? Are you kidding me? There wouldn't even be a relationship. And everyone else around me is like, yeah, there's no relationship, 15 minutes a week, are you kidding me? I'd dump her in a second. And all the guys are like, yeah. Anyway, and then he said, well, what about your relationship with God? Can you think how much time besides church and besides Wednesday and Sunday nights, how much time do you spend with God? And I could not come up with 15 minutes a week. 15 minutes a week. That's not much at all. And I couldn't come up with it during my week. I couldn't do it. And I thought, wow, if I apply the same thing that I would apply to a girlfriend, then I would have no relationship with God at all. Do you see what I'm saying? The Word is so important. It's so vital in the Christian's life. It really, really pains me now, knowing what I know about the Word, I just see Christians who miss out on so much, because they're not in the Word. And my biggest excuse was, I don't have time. Yeah, you make time for the things that are important. You know what I'm saying? God created time. He owns time. And then I thought, you know, if God took the time to come to earth, to die for my sin, to be a human and rise again, what's 15 minutes a week? It's not much. And Jesus spent 33 years on earth, and 15 minutes a week, if I spend 15 minutes a week, 52 weeks a year, I probably won't even add up to the time to 33 years. You see what I'm saying? It's so important. So my question is, how much time do you spend in the Word a week? How much time do you spend alone with God? What's it come up with? Don't answer that. Don't answer that. But okay, moving on.
Hey, Sean.
Yeah, go ahead.
Can I get a
portion? Yeah, I think we have... Well, sorry. No, many are called, few are chosen. Okay, that's cool. Verse 10, Jesus called the crowd to him and he says, listen and understand, what goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth is what makes him clean. Now look at this, I think this is really funny. And you know, whenever you preach the Word, whenever you talk about the Word, whenever you stand on the Word, people are going to get offended, they're going to get mad. And look, it says the disciples came to him and they said, don't you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this? And it's like, you called them a hypocrite in front of everyone. You just totally owned them with the Word. Yeah, they're going to be offended. But this is radical. I mean, this is absolutely radical. No one did this in this culture. No one stood and face the Pharisees like they should have. And Jesus stands up against that and stands on the word. Now look, he replies. He says, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. That is key. Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by the roots. You know the soil? We talked about the soil. You guys remember what the soil is? The heart, right? And what's the seed? The word. The seed is the word. And remember the shallow ground? That's what I think of. It's planted. They don't stay in the word. And pretty soon it's pulled up and ripped. That's what I think of. And then he says, leave them. They are blind guides. And if a blind man leads a blind man, they both fall into a pit. And then Psalms 19 says, open my eyes that I may see the wonders of your word. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I did not have immediately after I decided to start reading the word. It was a struggle for a little while. I had to make the time. I didn't have a desire for the word. Make Psalms 19:18 your prayer. Oh Lord, open my eyes that I may see the wonders of your word. Say, God, I want to desire your word. I want to. I don't have that desire. Put that desire in me. And he will, I guarantee you. He promises. He will. All right, moving on. We got to hurry. Let's see here. Go on. Okay, this is key. I want to cover this very briefly because people always get confused and I have questions about this. Very interesting passage of scripture coming up. Leaving that place, verse 21, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and a Canaanite woman from the vicinity came to him crying out, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. Couldn't get that out. Okay, picture this. Woman is very, very distraught. She's in a crowd. She's wailing, crying out, God, help me, have mercy on me. My daughter's demon-possessed. And look what Jesus does. Verse 23. Jesus did not answer a word. And look what he does. So his disciples came to him. His disciples come to him. And they say, wait a minute, Jesus. Send her away. She keeps crying out. She's distracting the crowd. She keeps crying out. She's annoying. Send her away. And look what he says. He says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. And the woman came and she knelt before him. And she said, Lord, help me. And Jesus replied, it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. Whoa. Pretty strong stuff, right? And look, she says, yes, Lord. But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. And Jesus answered, woman, which means dear one, you have great faith. Your request is granted. And the daughter was healed that very hour. Jesus didn't have to see the daughter, he didn't have to look at her, he didn't have to do anything. He just spoke the word and she was healed. Now what is going on here? This seems like some pretty strong stuff, right? What's going on? Now, write this down. Write down Luke 18, 1 through 8 and go read it later. Luke 18, 1 through 8. Sometimes when you call and you pray to God, it'll seem like there's no answer. Am I right? I mean, Jesus didn't answer a word to this lady. And she was crying out. The next thing she does is she's persistently crying out. She keeps going and crying out until the disciples say, wait a minute, this girl's annoying. Tell her to be quiet. Persistency in prayer is important. Persistency. You know, I needed to talk to Mrs. Cook the other day. And I didn't know that she was in a meeting with some other student. And so I'm at the door and I'm knocking on the door. And I look inside and Mrs. Cook is just sitting there and not doing anything. I'm thinking, did she hear me? And so I knock again and she's just sitting there. And so I'm like, okay, I'll just knock a third time, a little louder. And so this time I'm like, ch-ch-ch-ch. And then Mrs. Cook looks over at me and she just goes, and I was like, oh, sorry. And then about 5 minutes later, she came to the door. Now here's the thing. She heard me each time I knocked, right? But what made her respond? The loudness, the persistency, all right? Eventually, she was either annoyed or some reason she acknowledged that I was there. God wants to know that you are really seeking His help. He wants to know that you really are serious and you have a really deep concern. The lady comes finally and kneels before His feet and says, "Jesus, help me, have mercy on me." And Jesus says, "I've come only for the lost sheep of Israel." Now what's He talking about? The Jews are God's chosen people, right? He says He came first for the Jews. And He says it's not right to take from the children and give to the dogs. Now, Ian has his little dog at his house, and we were there. I kind of threw some food to him. I don't know if I was supposed to or not. And he ate it very quickly, right? Here's the thing. I made sure that I was full and satisfied before I had any leftovers that I was going to throw to Ian's dog. Okay? Here's the thing. We are grafted in as Christians. Grafted in. We are Gentiles. Yet God loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. It's amazing that God would even want us, but besides the fact that we're Gentiles, not God's chosen people. Yet, this lady who's a Gentile, no, she's a Canaanite, she comes and she says, "Lord, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Don't you hear the persistency and the eagerness to learn from Jesus and to have what Jesus wants? Do we have that? Do we have that eagerness to learn from the Word and that persistency that, "God, I want to know Your Word no matter what, no matter what it takes"? And Jesus says, "Oh, dear one, woman, how great a faith you have. And your request is granted immediately." Now we've got to move on, otherwise we're never going to get to the title. Okay. Jesus feeds the 4,000. Coming up, not the 5, the 4. Two total separate accounts. One, if you look at it, it says, "And He went along, and He went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to Him and began to teach them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit.'" You know that, right? Okay. If you look at it, the same wording is used. He went up on a mountainside and sat down. And then His disciples came to Him. He called His disciples. Probably the same mountain. Two different locations, if you remember last week. Remember, one was on this side of the lake. This one's probably on this side of the lake. He goes, He feeds the 4,000. The people are hungry. He does the same miracle, except 7 baskets, not 12. And everyone's happy and eats and full, right? Moving on. Good. Glad you got that. All right. Chapter 16. The Pharisees come and talk to Him. Look at verse 5. "Then they went across the lake. His disciples forgot to take bread." And Jesus says, "Be careful. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Now, they just got through feeding the 5,000 and now the 4,000. They go across the lake and His disciples forgot to take bread. Like that would have been a problem after He just totally multiplied everything. But they forgot to take bread and they say, "Oh no, you know, Andrew, Peter, you nincompoop," or whatever Hebrew Aramaic thing they would have used. And they're like, "You forgot the bread." And Jesus says, "Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." And what do they think of? Look what they say. They say, "Wait a minute. And they discussed among themselves, "It's because we didn't bring any bread." They said, "Oh no, he's mad. One of us is going to get fired. We did something wrong." And it says, aware of their discussion, Jesus asked, "You of little faith, why are you talking amongst yourself about having no bread? Do you still not understand?" And on the blank there on your sheet, it says, "People born of the Spirit understand spiritual things. People born of the flesh understand earthly things." Look what Jesus says. I'll just read it to you. Don't flip there. But John chapter 8, Jesus says it this way. He says, "He who belongs to God hears what God says." He who belongs to God hears what God says. And that's very true. Sometimes, I'm trying to figure out how to say this. Sometimes there's this people I'm trying to explain something to from the Word of God, and it just doesn't click at all. I mean, it's not there. And I'm thinking, this is simple. I'm thinking, what's the deal? What's the stumbling block? What's the problem? Spiritual people understand spiritual things. People born in the flesh understand earthly things. The natural man, Paul says, understandeth not. And that's key. Until someone is born again, they'll never have a word, the love for the Word of God in their heart. In fact, that's one of the vital signs of a believer, is the love for the Word of God, is how much a believer loves the Word of God. Because the natural man doesn't love the Word. But a believer, a Christian, should have that desire in their heart. So here's the thing. He says, beware. Beware of the yeast. Now, yeast kind of always represents sin in the Bible. Heads up there. Yeast equals sin, if you want to log that away in the back of your mind. And he says, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. Here's the thing. In order to know a lie, and in order to know the difference between the truth and the lie, you have to know the truth. Ignorance is death. Hosea 4:6 says, because of lack of knowledge, the people perish. Because of lack of knowledge, the people perish. And the disciples didn't get it. They do eventually. They eventually clicks with them. But in order to know a lie, you have to know the truth. How much of the truth do you know? How much of the truth do you know? And Jesus said, Pilate asked, I love this verse. I love where Pilate, Jesus is before Pilate. And Pilate says, what is truth? Pilate asked the question, what is truth? And I look around at school and today, and I think everyone asks that question. What is really truth? Is there truth? What is truth? And it's really interesting. The chapter before, in John 17, I think it's verse 17, Jesus says, the Word is truth. One sentence. The Word is truth. So that's my prayer. My prayer for you guys is that you have the love of the Word, the love of the Word, the love of God's revelation to man in your heart. That you'll know that the Word is truth, and that you'll have knowledge of that and not perish, because, you know, life is short. Life is short. And one thing I don't want to do at the end of my life is get before God, see the Word. In the beginning was the Word. See the Word face to face. And then realize how awesome, powerful, great, and amazing. And fall on my knees and realize how great Jesus is. And then say, wait a minute. All those years, I never got to know the Word. Never got to know this great God like I should have. I don't want to regret that. Don't want to regret that. So that's my prayer for you all. Let's pray, and we'll go. By the way, raising in the bun, yeast raises things. Raising in bread, raising in the bun. Beware of the yeast of the Pharisees, Sadducees. All right, let's pray. Dear God, Lord, I thank you so much for your Word. I thank you, God, that you reveal it to us, and you are just waiting, arms open wide. You are waiting for us to open your Word and to see the great things that you proclaim. Thank you, God, for every person. Lord, I thank you so much for every person here. Lord, I love them. You love them. And I thank you for them, God. Please bless us today. Let us study to show ourselves approved to you, God. In your name I pray. Amen.